Welcome back. You should now be standing outside Bond 31 Warehouse on High Street, ready for stage 7 of our walk. This stage takes us through the museum quarter and gives us our first chance to look at the old River Wharf. So first, if you could look over the other side of the High Street, next to Black Boy, set back, is the other entrance to Burnett Avenue I mentioned on stage 6. Although it has the rather grand name of Avenue, it was in fact an alley, arranged in an L shape between Scale Lane and here, and it shows the commercial development of buildings in Hull during the early part of the 19th century. And we'll see another example of these L-shaped alleys later on in the walk. Next we have Dunswell Forge, a medieval building rebuilt in the 1700s as a shipsmith. However, I'm pleased to be able to say that much of the original internal structure remains, and it is now a popular vegetarian restaurant. So, if you could now walk down High Street and opposite Dunswell Forge, just before you come to the pillar box, you will see the former Pacific Club, which was the meeting place for Hull's corn and seed merchants, and is dated 1899. The style is Jacobean Revival, and there is a wealth of detail to be seen. Now used by the City of Culture 2017 team. Now next, on the same side, we have Bishop Lane Stave. This shows how a typical stave entrance would have been in the mid-18th century. It is an excellent example of the wrought iron protected plates that were probably put there around the 1750s by property owners to stop carts from damaging the outside of their buildings as traders manhandled their goods down to the quayside. You will see a number of examples of these wrought iron plates as we walk down High Street. Go on, rub them. Give them a tap. Just imagine who was passed down this stave before you. So, if you would please carry on walking, stay on the right, and in front of you, you will see a range of warehouses from the early 1800s. And some of them still have their second and third floor loading bays still intact. These have now been converted into student accommodation. Over the road we have another avenue that isn't. A rather over-elaborate commercial property built around 1900. It replaced an earlier L-shaped alley. Next we have the Sailmaker's Arms. It has a warm, glowing open fire in the winter and a large sun-catching courtyard in the summer. So now back on your side we have the very grand former Corn Exchange, designed by architect Bellamy and Hardy in 1855. We know this because they have conveniently engraved their names and the date across the centre rail of these rather fine entrance gates. The Corn Exchange now houses the Hull and East Riding Museum. We will see the entrance of this just round the next corner. On the other side of the street is the Meister's House, Hull's only National Trust property. It was built in 1775 for Henry Meister, a wealthy merchant. Unfortunately, it's closed at the moment, awaiting new tenants. In contrast to the Meister's House, next door, we have the very elaborate Phoenix Chambers, 161 High Street. Built in the late 19th century, it is still used as its original intended purpose as office accommodation. Next to Phoenix Chambers is Chapel Lane, and opposite that is the entrance to three of Hull's excellent museums: Street Life, the East Riding Museum, and the Arctic Corsair, Hull's last sidewinder trawler, and all are well worth a visit. We'll be coming back to this area at the end of the stage, so just for now, please turn right into the museum precinct and walk down the cobble section between the buildings of what was Chapel Lane Stave, and you will reach the River Hull. So if you could now pause the walk and restart again when you reach the Arctic Corsair, which is anchored in the River Hull. Well, here we are at the Arctic Corsair. Incidentally, you can find out more about the rise and fall of Hull's fishing industry, including what a sidewinder trawler is, in our website under the section Want to Know More. So, if you could now continue along the riverside boardwalk with the Corsair on your right, you will pass the back of the Streetlife Museum. Oh, River Hull,
to see you. Away, you rolling river. Oh, river, I long to see you. Away, I'm bound away. Across the wide Humber shore, your busy wharves and sidewalks call. Away, you rolling river, your streets and taverns and friends with all. Away, I'm bound to go. Across the wide Humber.
You should now have passed the back of the Streetlife Museum, and next to it you come to the rear garden of Wilberforce House, and following that is a curtain wall, decorated with local artwork, representing the trades of Hull and the East Riding, including fishing, shipping, the docks, food processing, chemical manufacture, entertainment, and various aspects of agriculture. Now if you look across the other side of the river, you will see a rather ornate, if somewhat jaded building that was Trinity House Boy Station, built in 1901. It's a Grade II listed building. It's now used as industrial workshops. Keep walking, but take care here, as this section of the river is unfenced. Now next you will come to, on the left, the Peace Warehouse, built in 1745 and extended in 1760. Although now converted into apartments, they have retained all of their original external features. Joseph Peace was a Dutch merchant who established Hull's first bank in 1754, which eventually became a branch of the Bank of England. It is thought to have been the first bank in Yorkshire, and one of only 12 in the country at the time. In front of you, you can see Drypool Bridge, which is an electrically operated roller lift bridge, opened in 1961. Just over Drypool Bridge is the district of Drypool, and for the mathematicians among you, it was here in 1834 that John Venn was born, he of the Venn diagram fame. And further east at 371 Holderness Road in 1888, J. Arthur Rank, the film mogul, was born. And even further east, but still in Hull, is the birthplace of Mick Ronson, lead guitarist with the Spiders from Mars support group to David Bowie. Sadly, Mick died of cancer in 1993. You can hear David Bowie's feelings towards Mick on our YouTube link in the Want to Know More section.
Long years since last I've seen you. Away, you rolling river. 'Tis 7 long years since last I've seen you. Away, I'm bound away. Across the wide Humber shore.
Continue to walk along the riverside and up the ramp, and with a slight left and then right, you will reach the main road, which is Alfred Gelder Street. It was built around 1900 and cut across High Street, isolated the north end of the street, and that is where we're making for now. Alfred Gelder Street was part of the main road network through the city, until Castle Street A63 development was completed in the early 60s. We now cross over Alfred Gelder Street. Now it can be quite busy round here, and there's no designated crossing point, so please pause the guide at this point and restart again when you're at the other side of Alfred Gelder Street. Once over Alfred Gelder Street, move to what is known locally as Little High Street. Once there, please move to the right-hand pavement and walk down Little High Street for about 25 metres, and on your right you will see Blades House, built in 1750 for Benjamin Blades, a merchant and shipbuilder. Now please look up to the roof line, and between two chimneys you will see a small window. Young boys were sent up there to look out for ships sailing up the Humber so that cargoes could be got ready for loading. Ships could be offloaded and reloaded within the hour so that they could be sent out on the same tide. As you look at the window, it's pretty clear that it was an afterthought. It was built after three boys were killed falling off the roof while ship spotting. Please now continue to walk down High Street, staying on the right-hand side. The name Benjamin Blade would probably have slipped into obscurity, had it not been for the fact that in 1784 his company built the Bethia here on the River Hull. It was later bought by the Royal Navy for the princely sum of £1,950 and renamed the Bounty. And the rest, as they say, is history. Laird's House is currently used by the University of Hull as, appropriately enough, the Maritime Research Centre. Please continue to walk past Alexander Wharf and a group of rather undistinguished terraced houses, and you will see in front of you a very distinguished former dock office built in 1820. It was the main office for the Hull Dock Company until the new dock office, now the Maritime Museum, were opened in 1871. So, if you could now walk just past the old dock office and look towards the River Hull, and you'll see the basin of what was Queen's Dock, now of course Queen's Gardens. If you could now look up at the north wall of the old dock office, you'll see why they were built where they were. Every ship that entered and left the dock could be watched over by their owners. Ooh, now listen carefully. You may hear the sound of old dock activity.
Watch out!
If you could now cross over High Street and look back at the old dock office, you will notice that it originally had five bays set around a front entrance with a central triangular pediment. Well, it can't have been big enough, because in 1840 three more bays were added to the right to give us the building we have today. OK, so we're now going to make our way back to the museum quarter. Please walk back the way you came towards Alfred Gelder Street. You will cross over the end of a cul-de-sac called North Wall. This, as the name suggests, was the northern outer limit of the old city wall. So please pause the guide at this point and restart again when you're at the other side of Alfred Gelder Street. You should now have crossed over Alfred Gelder Street. So please now cross over High Street to where you can see a blue plaque dedicated to Joseph Priest. You'll recall I mentioned him during the riverside part of our walk earlier. This area used to be a complete row of elegant Georgian houses, but sadly most were destroyed, including the other side of High Street during World War II. Fortunately, the next two buildings we're going to see survived. So, if you could please now walk further down High Street, and you will come to the first of a pair of Georgian houses, now a museum. You should now be standing outside the front doors of a pair of Georgian houses. They were built in 1756 by the tar merchant James Hamilton. What makes them so unusual is that they are actually a pair, like a modern semi-detached house, which was very unusual in the Georgian period. And there are very few examples of this layout from the Georgian period left in this country today. The two houses have now been combined into a museum, with rooms displaying costumes, firearms, displays of Hull silver from the 17th century, and clocks made in Hull and the East Riding. Like all of our museums, they are free and are well worth a visit. You can access the Georgian houses through the next property we come to, the famous Wilberforce House, so now please walk on to the entrance of Wilberforce House. It was probably built in the 1660s. It was originally the official residence of the Governor of Hull. It was bought by the Wilberforce family in 1730, and it stayed in the family until 1832. It opened as a museum in 1906. William Wilberforce is probably Hull's most world-renowned son. He was born upstairs in this house in 1759 and became MP for Hull in 1780. It was he who led a group of MPs to push for the abolition of slavery. Although he was a small man, only 5'3", he was a great orator. During the final address to Parliament, before the vote, it is said that many MPs were reduced to tears. Let's hear what he had to say in Parliament on that day.
The slave trade, founded in inequity and carried on as this was, must be abolished. Let the policy be what it might, let the consequences be what they would. I am from this time determined that I would never rest until I have effected its abolition.
It was these efforts that eventually led to the Slavery Act in 1807 to end Britain's involvement in the international slave trade. This has brought us back to the museum quarter and the end of Stage 7. This may be a good time for you to visit one of the great museums around here. And don't forget, as well as these two, there's the Street Life, the East Riding Museum and the Arctic Corsair. Whatever you decide, when you're ready to start the walk again, please come back outside Wilberforce House and press Stage 8, Wilberforce to Ye Old White Hart, in your handset. See you then.